I have a Valentine's message for us this morning, and we're going to be talking this morning about the love of God. God's love is. We're going to begin this morning. We're going to continue next week and maybe even one more week than that, but a Valentine's Day message for us today. God's love is. So here's another question for us this morning. If I were to ask you, and I hate it when people do this to me, in one word, describe love. You know, people do that all along. They want you to distill everything into one word. How would you describe love? Think about it. And let me clarify that. How would you describe God's love? A lot of us would immediately think of 1 Corinthians 13. But you know what? 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a wide range of love, doesn't it? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. It's not boastful. It's not proud. All of these things. And a lot of you who in your marriage had a Christian marriage, you probably even had 1 Corinthians 13 as part of your wedding, very possibly. And so we look at 1 Corinthians 13, and that's not wrong, because 1 Corinthians 13 describes the love of God, which then is poured into our hearts and which then is reflected in our lives as well. But back to that tough question, if you had one word to describe the love of God, God's love, what word would you use? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. As we talk about God's love is, we're actually, I'll have 4 points, but this morning we're just going to look at one of them, because it is the primary description of God's love. It is the number one primary representation and image and adjective to describe God's love. And I don't know if some of you have, so you can get a word in your mind, you can think about it, but we're going to, and you're going to say, where did you get that from? Did you look that up somewhere? Did somebody tell you that? Did you read that somewhere? How do you know that? And what I want to say to you right now is, I got it from God. And when we say we get it from God, what I mean is I got it from the Word of God. I've had such a great time these last 2 weeks going through the scriptures and just thinking about love and God's love. And I started out when I was thinking on it and praying about it almost 2 weeks ago. And then one of the things that I did with my great Bible program, I just started doing a search for the love of God. And not even the examples of God's love, which are from the beginning to the end, aren't they? We all know that. The descriptions of God's love, even if it doesn't say love from beginning to end, it's expressions of God's love. But I looked specifically for the words about God's love. I had pages and pages and pages and pages, and I've just been feasting on them over these last days and last 2 weeks or so. So if we had to choose just one word to describe God's love, let me see if you got it right or close. Here's our first point, and the point that we'll stay on today. God's love is unfailing. And that may not have come first to mind when you were thinking about God's love. But when we look at this, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning, I want to encourage you, because there's so much we could talk about when we're talking about God's love, but I want to encourage you this morning, when we look at this, that God's love is unfailing, I can confidently tell you that that is the premier and primary description, the number one on the list to describe God's love, because God says so in His Word. And with everything else that He says, more than 80 times, God the Holy Spirit, who's the author of His Word, expresses this truth that the love of God is unfailing. So that's where we're going to start this morning. That's what we're going to camp on this morning as we look at a few of the many, many verses. As I said, more than 80 verses describe the unfailing love of God. We're going to look at some other expressions also. I don't know what translations you're using this morning. The best Bible is the Bible that you read. And so if your translation is New Living, NIV, ESV, Message, even whichever one you use, you will see some words like this. Let me give you some of the direct expressions or some of the synonyms. That means same meaning in a different form, either synonymous words or expressions. Let me give you some of them. Unfailing love, steadfast love, loving kindness. And that may surprise you, but not always, but very often in your Bibles, when you read the word loving kindness, it is the same meaning in the original, in Hebrew especially, to describe unfailing love, the unfailing love of God. And I'm only talking about God's love. Or the phrase, his love endures forever. In the original, same meaning, same word. Or everlasting love as well. So we're going to look at some verses this morning, and you may be looking in your Bibles. When you come across those, it is always the same meaning, the unfailing love of God. And we're going to talk this morning about the unfailing love of God and why it's important for us to understand the unfailing love of God, and why it's important for us to hang on to the unfailing love of God, and what that truth means in our lives. I don't know if some of you, I don't know if you read Chinese newspapers or Chinese slanted newspapers, but this story actually began in mainland Chinese newspapers and then was picked up in Asian papers and then made it further to even like the U.S., CNN, BBC, and other things like this. But in early December in China, there was a young guy. I'll say guy because I wouldn't have said he was a man yet. He was 17 years old, and his name is Liu Xuezhou. I don't know the accents. Age 17, he was born in around 2005 in northern China, and when he was about 3 months old, he was either sold or given away by his birth parents, who were not married. And at age 17, as has become very common in China now, a lot of children who have either been given or sold or trafficked because of the former policies, it's not that way anymore, but until 2015 with the one-child policy, the government in China has set up a whole task force to reunite children with their birth parents. And the government has done that. And so this young man posted his story, and he wanted to find his birth parents. He was desperate to find them at age 17. And he found them. And he had been adopted at about 3 months of age, or let me use the word adopted or bought, because some of the things are not so clear. And then with the help of police, and with this organization and with DNA testing, he was able to find his birth father in one place, who was divorced and now married and had another family, and his birth mother, who was also now had a new family with other children. And this young man, we don't know the details of it, of his life, but he had been adopted. And then when he was 4 years old, his adopted parents had both been killed in a fireworks explosion. And so the adoptive grandparents had then taken care of him, but he had been among the relatives, sort of taken care of by various relatives in the family, sort of passed from here to there. And this story really grabbed people's attention online. I was thinking about that as I was thinking about God's love today, and that God's love is unfailing, because there is in the heart and in the soul and the desire of every one of us this desire for love, this desire to know we belong. And this is in the physical, in the world, but it mirrors the spiritual need that we have as well, and the spiritual reality as well. That though he had an adoptive family, there was the desire for the acceptance and the love of those who had given birth to him, who had brought him into the world, and then he found them. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. So there's this desire in us, and to know that we are loved, to be reassured of love, because knowing that we are loved and having love, as we're going to see, it protects us, it secures us, it settles us. That's both in the physical, just in this world, but it is an imperfect mirror of how God has made us as people. God has made us this way because God himself is this way. What does the Bible say? God is love. And so as we look this morning at God's love, I want us to see what God says about his unfailing love for us. So let's go and let's just look at a few verses, and then we're going to talk in more detail about it, about God's love is unfailing. So that's the number one expression. Next week, we're going to talk about God's love is unconditional, which actually overlaps with God's love is unfailing, as we're going to see. But that comes next week, and we'll look at some other things as well. So join with me, and let's look at just a few. Here's the first one, Exodus 15:13. In case our eyesight's not great, I have italicized in the verses the expressions that that show us this unfailing love of God. So here, although this is not the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. And so we see this picture of unfailing love, this expression, depending on the translation that you have, this exact expression, unfailing love, is at least 30 times in the Word of God. Okay, just this very specific one, beyond the other ones as well. So one of the things that we see about the unfailing love of God is that it's not just nebulous. It's not just, oh, it's out there in the ether. Oh, isn't it great that God has unfailing love? As we're going to see, and as we'll talk about more next week, the unfailing love of God is active and powerful, and it's doing something in your life. And here we say, Moses writes, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. Why does Moses say this? Why is he inspired to say this? The people you have redeemed, what does the word redeem mean? To what? To buy back, or to bring at, literally to buy back. And Moses uses this expression because he's talking about the Jewish people, the Israelite nation that had been in the grip of Pharaoh, and God had brought them out. God had bought them back. And what does he say? In your unfailing love, you will lead the people into your holy dwelling. So very practically, physically, he was talking about from Egypt into the land of promise. But there's a larger spiritual meaning here as well. And this is an encouragement for us because we know everything in the Old Testament is written for our teaching and for our encouragement. Here's a message for us this morning. We are no longer in a physical Egypt, but every one of us, think back to the bondage that you and I were in when we were in sin. And we read, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. You're the people that God has redeemed. And God is going to lead you and bring you into his holy dwelling. Why? Because of his unfailing love. How? Because of his unfailing love. Through his unfailing love. Look at the next one. Psalm 33:18, again the same expression. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Where is your hope this morning? Don't count on government. Though we pray for government, though we hope for good government will not always do us right. Good government will not always succeed, but God will. So put your hope in here. Put your hope in the unfailing love of God. What does the word unfailing mean? Let's think about that as we're looking at these verses. Unfailing means it goes forever, right? It means there's no beginning, there's no end. You say unfailing means not. It means all of these things. When you look at the beginning, unfailing has to do with length of time. It's unfailing. It also has to do with the quality of the love. It won't run out. Have you ever had something in your life that ran out? How many of you, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you run out? Or as the sisters say to me sometimes, oh, Pastor, sorry, I'm low bat. And we all understand what that means, right? I'm low battery. How many of you have ever failed in your patience, in your mercy, in your grace, in your kindness? How many of you have ever failed in your love, in your forgiveness? We all have. We all have in these various areas. And God says to us, but my love for you, it's unfailing. It doesn't run out. It doesn't grow weak. It won't end. It's always the same. And that's what this means. Let's go a little bit further. Psalm 51:1. I'm talking really fast this morning, am I not? But the Lord's gonna get us through. Psalm 6:4. I like this one as well. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. I love this one. I put this one in at the end. I had already prepared all my notes and printed everything and had it all ready. And I was lying in bed meditating. And I thought, I've got to include that one. So I got back up and went and I changed things again. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Let me ask you something this morning as we think about the unfailing love of God. How many of you have ever found yourself, pardon my American expression, you have found yourself in a pickle? Do you know that expression? I don't know what we say in Cantonese. I'll bet it's equally as colorful because Cantonese is such a colorful language. You found yourself in a pickle, and it may have been nothing that you did. It may have been caused by others, right? How many of you have ever found yourselves in a pickle because of your own choices? Of course we have. Something you said, something you did, something you should have said and you didn't, or should have done and you didn't. I love this Psalm 6:4 because it says, turn to me, turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. The psalmist who writes this is inspired. And we say, oh, but that's something that David is saying. That's just a prayer and a hope. No. Every word of the Bible is inspired. And the psalmist is inspired to pray this prayer. And when prayers are inspired by the Holy Spirit, they are answered by the Holy God. You can count on it. So when you go to these prayers and you think, well, that's theirs. This just comes from a human heart. It's a human heart that has been inspired by the Holy Spirit to lift a prayer of hope and desperation to God, who answers the prayer that he has put in our hearts. And I love this. It doesn't matter if it's a pickle you caused or if it was caused by somebody else. Still, because of God's unfailing love, he will deliver. He will turn and deliver and save because of his unfailing love. Let's go a little bit further. Psalm 51:1. This is such a good one, so encouraging. We know this one, don't we? Look at this. This is David's psalm for sure, and we know this one so well. Have mercy on me, O God, according to what? According to what? Your unfailing love. I want you to camp with me on this for just a minute. Is it because you have been, David has been so good? No. David has been so bad. Murderer, adulterer, liar, all of these things. He has been so bad. And if we count on our goodness to move God's love on our behalf, we will wait for forever. We will never be good enough for the love of God. But God's love is not based on our goodness or on our works or on anything we can do. It's based on who he is. It's his unfailing love. And therefore, wicked David, who is very regretful and who has asked for forgiveness at this point, this is his public expression. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Now, let me give you one other encouragement here this morning. That word transgressions, what does it mean? Is it simply the word sin or weakness or wrongdoing? No, it is more than that. The word transgression here means rebellion or revolt. That's what the word transgression means. Do you know why that helps me so much when I think of God's unfailing love and my own heart and my own life? There are times when each one of us, we all of a sudden lose our temper, this or that. And, oh God, I'm sorry and forgive me. And that's easier. About how many of us, all of us, have we not at times in our life chosen something, done something, decided to do something that we knew was a rebellion against God's holiness, against his goodness, against his law, against his love, against his truth. But David still says, oh, blot out my transgression, my deliberate sin, what I chose, not because of me, but because of your unfailing love. It is no wonder that God's number one description is, my love is unfailing. It's not going to fail. It's enough to cover. Amen. Amen. Look at the next one. Oh, this one's great as well. So they're all great. May your steadfast love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. So the steadfast love, oh, it's there for hard times, my transgression. It's there for times of comfort. Remember, the word comfort includes strength and encouragement, the unfailing love of the Lord. Let's look at some other ones. Psalm 138. I love this one too. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Here's another encouragement for us. Because of the unfailing love of the Lord. Now here it doesn't say unfailing, does it? Here it says what? Faithful love endures forever. I want you to look with me in Psalm 138, and we're going to look at some other ones as well. The phrase changes a little bit, but it's exactly the same meaning. His love endures forever. His faithful love endures forever. Do you know that this particular expression is over 40 times in the Bible? Over 40 times. It all comes back to the same meaning, but this very particular one. And so you can be assured when you go through things that you think, oh God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this? God is able to get you through. God is able to work out his plans for your life, not because of your smarts, not because of your maneuvering, but because of his unfailing love for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then let's look at another one. Psalm 136, 1. Give thanks to the Lord. Oh, I hope you've got your Bibles for this one. We're only going to look at verse 1, but there are 26 verses in Psalm 136. Do you, and are you looking at it? In your, okay. What do you see over and over and over again in Psalm 136? His love endures forever. His love endures forever. 26 times. Is God slipping in his memory? Is he's repeating himself repeatedly. You know, Dad, as he got older, but especially after his first stroke, Dad started repeating himself a lot more. And we didn't mind. Dad was a wonderful storyteller. Mom's a wonderful storyteller too. But she tells sort of Bible-related stories. Dad's stories were the stories of his life on the farm, and he got it kind of from his dad as well. And Dad would, oh, so funny, these funny stories about when he was a boy and this and that. And he would tell the same stories over and over and over again. And sometimes he would tell them, like, as time went on, 1 minute later, he'd tell the same story again. And that was something that we saw. And I know Mom's going to watch this later. Mom would say, Dad's really repeating himself. And now Mom, as she is getting older, she's beginning to repeat herself too. And I suspect I'm starting to do that myself. But at least right now, I still remember when I say, I've told you this before. But it's something that happens. Why does God repeat himself so much when we look at this one? His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Now, there's no problem with God's memory. God repeats himself repeatedly for your sake. He wants you and he wants me to grab onto the truth that his love endures forever, that his love for you is unfailing, not an abstract truth, but in response and in relationship to you, his child, his love endures forever. And I can see that we are maybe a three-part message. We're going to close in just a few minutes here. His love endures forever. Let's go a little bit further. Then look with me at Ezra 3:11. The official anthem of praise, and I want you to see this. This is in Ezra, with the reading of the word and of the rebuilding of the temple and the altars and all of this. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, he is good. His love endures forever. And when you look at the official, the formal praises of the people of God when they gathered together, you will see time and time again, his love endures forever. You know, some of us that are not so emotional or touchy-feeling, sometimes we think and sometimes we sort of wonder, I don't know about this singing about love all the time, about God's love. May I encourage you that as we sing about the love of God, it is ordained in Scripture. It is perfectly part of the praises of the Lord. And we're going to close with this verse this morning. I've barely started preaching, haven't I? Nevertheless, we will continue, and you can already start looking. I want to close with this verse, because this is what we sang about this morning, wasn't it? This is what we sang about. Look with me. In fact, where you are online this morning, would you read with me from Isaiah 54:10? Ready? Let's read together. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my steadfast love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Brothers and sisters, the circumstances that you are going through now, the hard times that you are going through now, will have and have no effect on the steadfast love of God for you, His child. It won't cause God's grip of love on you to weaken. It won't cause His love to fail. It won't cause His love to grow cold or withdraw or slow down. God's promise to you is, though all of these things are happening, no matter what's going on with COVID around us, whether we can meet or not, God says to you this morning, yet my steadfast love for you will not be shaken. We're going to talk about this more next week, but let me go ahead and give you a drop of a nugget of truth right now that will help you as you think about it this week and as the Holy Spirit continues to minister to you. When the Bible, when it begins, when God is first displayed in the written word of God, the word that's used is the word that has His name, that has to do with love, and not only with love, but a covenant God of love. And so when we talk about the unfailing love of God, and we'll talk about this more like next week, but I want to leave this with you this morning, because here it says, my covenant of peace, but it's not just a covenant of peace. What you'll see again and again in the Word of God is, God says to you and to me, my covenant of love, my covenant of love. And the covenant means it's not a legal agreement. It's not a you do this, I'll do this, these are your parts, these are my parts. It's not a contract. It's not a contract. A covenant from God means whatever you do, whatever you don't do, whatever the circumstances, I am going to love you with an unfailing love. I'm going to hold on to you with steadfast faithfulness. My love for you is everlasting, and the devil can't change it, and circumstances can't change it. And even you, in and I, in our fallenness and our weakness, will not change the love of God. I started out by telling you about this young man, and I'll tell you more about it later. But the story, instead of having this wonderful ending, because they were able to help him find his parents, the ending of this story, as many of you know, if you've read the story, is that his birth parents ultimately rejected him for the second time. And a short time later, he committed suicide. When I read that, it was so heartbreaking to me. And I'm not trying to make a dramatic story. We don't know all of the details, but it was such a sad story. And he posted online on Weibo, I think, which is the Chinese, like TikTok or something like that. And he talked about being rejected twice by his parents because he was looking for love and for acceptance, for confirmation, and for a place and for a safety. And I thought, how sad. We see this earthly thing, and that's true for us physically, but how much more spiritually, that we look for a place of love and acceptance and security. And brothers and sisters, you are accepted and loved by God, your birth father, born again by the Holy Spirit. Not only that, adopted into His family. He's got you in His hands both ways, by birth and by adoption. And His love for you is unfailing. Don't go in another direction. Don't go, as that stupid country song says, looking for love in all the wrong places or something like that. Some of you, if Cindy were here right now, she'd start singing it because she knew that so well. But go to the God who loves you with an unfailing love, with a steadfast love, with an everlasting love. His love will not be shaken, and you can hang on to Him and hold on to Him. Amen? God's love is unfailing. Amen. I'm going to pray for you just before we go into our Zoom room. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your word to us that You have repeated through the scriptures that we've read, through the songs that we have sung to You and about You, and through the message that You have given us and put on our hearts. And Lord, we receive it and we take it into our hearts and into our lives. We will meditate upon Your word. Lord, through these uncertain times and through these trying times, we declare, we accept, we believe, we say again, Your love for us is an unfailing love. We will not listen to the world or the enemy that tell us otherwise. Your love for us will keep us through every situation. Surely Your goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. We will dwell in Your house forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.